Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Nine Lives, episode 21. 6 months of a podcast that was meant to last 10 weeks. So we're back today, and I come at you without a cold and without any mental health problems. So I'm feeling like myself again for the first time in about 5 weeks, which, I mean, amazing. So glad that the clouds have parted and I feel creative and happy again, because for a little minute there I thought, well, couldn't really see the woods for the trees. But we're out, we're back, we're feeling good. Started training for Paris Marathon, which, I mean, whenever I have a new plan or a new sort of like training goal, new program, everything just falls into place in my life, it feels like. I think as human beings, once we orientate ourselves around a goal to work towards, usually other things in your life start sort of falling into place. And I've started coaching with my coach, Finn, who's part of 444, and we have a new program, and I'm going to try and run fast. So we're going to see. But I'm aiming for a sub-4-hour marathon, which is a bit of a pipe dream. Not sure if I'll do it. I mean, we'll see. The training block is pretty intense, but that's how I like it. I like to do hardcore stuff. So it's going to be really, really fun. And there's lots of deload and lots of different training methods I've never tried before. So I think it's going to be very cool. Lots of treadmill stuff. So yeah, but I think it's exciting. I can't wait to be in Paris and cross the finish line. I'm already visualizing it. I've chosen my finishing song, which is Knights of Sidonia by Muse. So I'm already envisioning holding that medal and doing it in sub 4 hours. So yes, we've got this. Okay. The topic of today's episode is going to be, it's a highly requested one, and it is finding your inner child, and inner child work. Because this is something I've spoken about, I think, in lots of episodes here and there, but I wanted to dedicate a whole episode to it. And I also want to talk a little bit about being the creator of your own life. Some people call it manifesting. I think I just call it action, or creating action towards yourself. So I wanted to tell the story a little bit of my previous lifestyle and how that kind of blocked me from being able to connect to my inner child and feel like I was clouding her with my lifestyle, and found it really hard to connect to her and that sort of like childlike joy or innocence that used to be present in my life before. Things like drinking, obviously a big one for me, we all know that story. Empty relationships, no movement at all, you know, no exercise, no physical activity. Impulse spending, being obsessed with consumerism, shitty TV, idol worship, like putting celebrities on pedestals or being interested in that sort of thing, instead of pouring that energy into myself, which I think is a big thing. I think we have a real problem with idol worship in today's society. And I think if people poured that energy into themselves, you could do incredible things. And this goes for everyone. I think to have peers and people you look up to for inspiration is amazing, but you mustn't put people on pedestals, and you must see their achievements as something inspiring that you can also achieve. But we are the creators of our destiny. And I'll get back to that in a later segment. But in order for me to connect back to myself, I had to figure out who was little Cassia, and what did she want. And she loved nature, she loved horses, she loved running, she loved being silly, stupid, goofy. And when I reconnected to that part of myself, I was able to find myself again. And I see those years that I spent in obesity and alcohol addiction as being like not me. When I see photos and videos, I genuinely don't recognize myself. And it's the most surreal experience to look back at things from that time period. When friends send me photos or videos, it's almost like I'm looking at a stranger. It's so weird. It's so Yeah, it's almost uncomfortable, honestly. So who were you before the world told you who to be? Before the hurt, before the walls you built up? When we see childlike joy, it's so beautiful because it is unbridled and unashamed. Big toothy grins and full body laughs, no holding back, no masking. You can find that again. I promise, we all can. Everybody has an inner child. You might see this inner child as a direct representation of yourself in your early years, a patchwork collection of the developmental stages you've passed through, or a symbol of youthful dreams and playfulness. An awareness of your inner child can help you think back to lighter, carefree years. Being in touch with the joys of childhood can be an excellent way of dealing with challenging times. But, and I really, you know, this is worth saying, not everyone associates childhood with playfulness and fun. If you experience neglect, trauma, or any other emotional pain, your inner child might be seen as small and vulnerable and in need of protection. You may have buried this pain deep to hide it and protect yourself, both your present self and the child that you once were. Hiding pain doesn't heal it. Instead, it often surfaces in your adult life, showing up as distress in personal relationships or difficulty meeting your own needs. Working to heal your inner child can help you address some of these issues. But obviously, that journey for you would be best done with a counselor or a psychiatrist. Healing your inner child can take time, but I just want to have a conversation about my own experience and give you some tips as to how to reconnect to yours. So I wanted to start with an exercise. We're all going to do it together. So I want you to close your eyes, not if you're running. I know a lot of people listen to these podcasts while they're out running and walking. So please do not close your eyes if you're running. I want you to imagine your little self standing or walking or running or lying next to you. Reach out and hold their hand. You are both the adult and the child in this situation, the caretaker and the little one. If you were to look at your child self and ask, "Am I giving you what you need?" what would they say? The first time I did this, it was an incredibly eye-opening and very difficult experience for me because the answer was an astounding no. You are not giving me what I need. You don't feed me well. You stay up all night, and I don't like some of the people that you hang around with. I don't feel safe, and I never feel calm or playful. So admitting that to yourself and imagining that little version of yourself can be so emotive and quite painful. So take a moment. I know it's not easy to imagine these things, and I know it's not easy to admit to yourself that you're neglecting your needs. But I wanted to tell the story of when I first was able to reconnect to little Cassia again, because I know it sounds all quite airy-fairy sometimes, but this is a very real experience that I had, and this is when I kind of knew that I was on the right path. So the first time I felt little Cassia again was a winter day in 2020. It was lockdown, the air was cold, and the ground had started to freeze. I had begun walking at this point and had headed out to my local park armed with a playlist and a 5K step goal. In my previous lifestyle, I never went into nature. I didn't see the outside world during the day if I could help it. But on this day, I walked through the trees and decided to take a longer route. I stopped by a little nature reserve that I thought looked familiar. I then realized that I used to come here as a child. It was one of my favorite places because there was a chance you could see squirrels and butterflies or bugs. I sat on a bench and I remember sitting on as a small child, and I burst into tears. I made a promise that day that I would no longer neglect myself. I wanted to care for little Cassia, and I wanted to follow her dreams. She had so many, and she was so full of wonder and promise, and she kept snails as pets and loved smelling like horses and dirt. She loved going on adventures through the fields for miles and miles with only a backpack and the promise of new lands to discover in her little world. I knew then that trail running was my answer, or walking. To get back to the dirt, back to the adventure, and back to me. I'd started taking my running seriously after that point, and I put "I will run a marathon" on my vision board that night. I ran my first marathon 2 years later, almost to the day of sitting on that bench. And the morning I set off on my 29th birthday, I held a moment just for her. I got us out. I got us out, and we're never going back. She runs with me now. She stops to look at the bugs and wonder at the changes of the season. She packs my running vest with snacks and gets excited when I run the trails every single week. I have to thank her for a lot. I think she might have saved my life. That innocent, wide-eyed wonder might have saved my life. The most beautiful part of that story, I think, is that that bench in that nature reserve was always there. That park was always there. I just wasn't going to it. So in all the times, and it's weird, I have chapters that I very much can feel. It's very visceral that I imagine the different apartments and flats that I lived in, and I kind of see those as little chapters that I almost like peek into. But even in those times that I was living alone and in filth, in a horrible lifestyle and depression, that park with that bench, the bench that changed my life, was always there. That was always there. I just wasn't going to it. So I was on a different timeline. And I think one of the most beautiful things about life is that you can switch your timeline at any point. You can go out and one step could change your entire future. If I hadn't have gone on that walk that day, I wouldn't have had that realization and I wouldn't have begun to connect to who I am truly at my core. We have the power within us to create infinite timelines and possibilities. All those days I spent in bed, that little haven was there waiting for me to visit. The wonder of the butterfly effect, the amazing ability to create a new timeline, to switch the ending of the story. That bench is there waiting for you whenever you feel ready to go to it. So who is little you? Could you get them back? A journal task from me this week as well. I want you to write a letter to your inner child. I think it's a really important part of ourselves that gets so lost in how we live our lives today. And I think that there's so much cynicism that goes on both online and in real life and in friendship groups. And I just really hope that you can listen and try to connect back to that sort of joy and innocence that exists in all of us, that isn't clouded by the way that we live our lives or the opinions of other people or the way that people want us to live our lives. I think there's so much within us that we can look to our little selves for, to ask them what they love to do and what they'd like to do now and what their dreams were. And there's such a calm for me in the activities that I used to do. Like whenever I go horse riding, or I'm just walking along a trail, or I'm sitting by the beach, or I'm playing with my dog, or I'm, you know, colouring, doing my illustrations, watching Lord of the Rings, all the things that little Cassia liked. It's when I'm really, truly at that sort of like really calm level of happiness. And of course, there are always adult responsibilities, and there'll always be your inner teacher and caretaker who's there too to look after you. But I think allowing yourself that space for innocence is so special and so important, and also encouraging it in the other people in your life. So your partners, your parents. God, soul crushing, isn't it, to know that this is your parents' like first time living and they were once a child too. My counselor once made me write or asked me to write a letter to my mom as a little girl, and that was like, my gosh, so emotional, because we're all just here figuring it out, aren't we? But to encourage others to experience life in a joyful way without judgment. And I think I spoke about this a little bit in episode 13, I believe. A little bit of this is also tied up in allowing people to go after their dreams and be giddy about hobbies. Because, you know, when you're a kid and you get really into dinosaurs or bugs and you're like obsessed with them, and you go out and you research everything and you have a magnifying glass and you like get all your bugs in your thing and you're totally obsessed with it. And no one thinks it's weird because you're a child with an interest and you're out there discovering the world. But there seems to be this sort of expectation and rule put on us that when we are adults, we have discovered the world and we have discovered ourselves and we know everything and there's nothing else to look at or learn. But I would argue that I think we're children forever. I think that we should remain children forever. And I know some people who are like my fiance's grandma who introduced us. She set us up, but she is, I mean, gosh, she's 80. I think she's 86 now. And she's so full of childlike joy and discovery and always wanting to learn things and be with people and bring people together. And she's so young at heart. And I think, and she's so healthy and full of life. And I think that's such a big part of aging is realizing that, you know, no one knows what they're doing, really. Some of us do a bit, but we're all figuring it out. And I think we should always look at the world with those wide-eyed, wonderful, you know, inner child lens of like, oh my gosh, I'm discovering this for the first time and this is so exciting. And I think the cynicism of how we all live now, and I understand these are difficult times and life is very heavy and we do, you know, I know I struggle with my mental health and I know how doomy and gloomy things can feel. But often in times like that, I do call on little Cassia to sort of, you know, lift me up and make things a little bit lighter and a little bit silly and not so serious all the time. And anyway, I digress. So I'm going to leave you with a journal task for this segment of the podcast. So please do it this week and let me know how you get on with it. You don't have to send it to me if you want to. I mean, I would be so honored, but I think it would be lovely for you to write a letter to your inner child. See what you find. There is so much nastiness in this modern world now, and the power to unlock that nostalgic, happy part of you exists. Doing this with an open mind and an open heart, and maybe doing just a little bit of meditation and thinking back to what it was that really you enjoyed when you were a child. You know, for me, it's like I used to go on these crazy adventures where I would just pack a backpack. This would be usually in Scotland or France where there was just like safe spaces for me to roam. I know not every child had that privilege or has that privilege, but I would just pack a little thing of like cheese or whatever else, snacks, and because I just lived completely in my imagination at all times. And off I would go on these adventures. I had like a little CD Walkman in the days before smartphones. And I would just go and I would imagine these imaginary worlds, go through the fields, run through the fields, there was a mountain of dirt that was outside my grandma's house and I used to call it Shell Mountain, and it had these shell creatures that were living on it. And I would collect all the little shells, or I'd make up mythical creatures when I was on my walks and I'd like imagine them running next to me. And now I think it's so funny that I love doing these trail ultras and trail runs because I pack my pack with my snacks and my gels and I listen to my playlists that are Lord of the Rings or Skyrim or The Witcher, and I imagine all of these creatures around me, and for an hour or two or five depending on the distance, I'm in little Cassia's world again, and it's a very fulfilling, innocent respite from the world that we're in today. And I think inviting that innocence into your life is such a beautiful thing that you could do for yourself. I also wanted to talk a little bit about another idea that I had, and it's kind of, I don't know if it goes together, but I think it's a really interesting thing to discuss both in one conversation, the idea of your inner child, but I call it outer God, and I'm not talking in a religious sense. I use God in this conversation as a word meaning higher self or higher being. It's rooted in spiritualism, but there's absolute truth to this idea in neuroscience and neuroplasty too, basically that what you think is what you are. So I have this tattoo on my hand, it says 810, and people are always like, what is that tattoo? And I mean, one of my drunk stories, so don't know if I'd get it nowadays, but my favorite band's called King 810, they have a song called Alpha Omega. And one of the lines in it is, I am God in this land as a conscious being. And I discovered that song kind of quite early on into my journey. It is heavy metal, so be warned. Don't go and listen to it if you don't like heavy music. But it was so powerful, that sentence, when it came to me. I am God in this land as a conscious being. And that's when I had first started to really change my lifestyle and had started to take control of my destiny and start to really believe, like, oh my God, like, applied pressure creates reality. I decide my future. It was like a penny had dropped. But hearing that, I was like, I am God in this land as a conscious being. I am the creator of my destiny. So I started to explore this idea within my self-improvement. It sounds so crazy, but in every big task that I set myself, like the ultra training block that I did, I do believe that I kind of meet God in this, and this is going to sound so woo-woo, but bear with me, okay? Because I realize that I am God of my universe, like I am the creator of my destiny. And every time I do a big challenge or have anything big happen in my life, it's like I become more and more powerful and I have more and more power to create this reality for myself. But your spiritual journey and coming to terms with the fact that our thoughts become our reality is, it's like a path of reconnection to our own power, and it's a path of empowerment that gifts us with living the life as in our highest potential. So it's creating a new way that we didn't know was possible before. And that kind of goes back to what I was saying about that bench always being there. That timeline is there. You know, it's possible. It's just you didn't know it was before. When we begin to be more aware about the way we create, suddenly we awake to the full realization that we must pay particular attention to how we think, how we speak, and how we act, as everything that comes directly from our own source is like a brush painting upon the canvas of our life, and in doing so, building specific realities for ourselves. So I'm going to talk a little bit about thoughts and overthinking, because I think this is something we all do, and this is something I see as a sort of common thread in clients and girlfriends and guy friends, and this is something my fiance and I have discussions about a lot. He's very spiritual, he's a man of the animals, and he's probably the calmest person I've ever met, and he's really helped me with my own anxiety, because he's just so, like, he's so calm, and I really want to be like that. I'm not there yet. I do still get very panicked about stuff, especially at work. But if we're thinking about the brain like this, our mind produces hundreds of thousands of thoughts every single day, and most of these thoughts are often reflecting of our own fears and unsolved parts of our consciousness. And sometimes with all of these thoughts running like wild horses across our mind, we can also reflect an indication of lack of clarity, as they may leave us feeling confused, tired, negative, pulled in opposite directions. So what is happening when our mind is jammed to the brim by overthinking? The problem is that too many thoughts don't leave space for real guidance to come through us. Instead, following a trail of unclear thoughts will usually only lead us to a dead end. So I see this time and time again with people who want to start a fitness or wellness journey. They have so many thoughts, so many ideas, so many things that they believe they have to act on all at once or it will fail. And this is called the all or nothing mentality. And we've spoken about this before. But in your path in life to self-improvement, there has to be clarity. You have to choose something, make a plan, and calmly, slowly, quietly go after it. It's very overwhelming because of what we see online and the voices that are very loud about you have to do this and this and this and this is optimal for this and do this and this, when really what we should be listening to is ourselves. If you feel you're in a place where you can trust yourself, what you want and what you need to go forward in our journey without the confusion and panic of the overthinking. So and bear with me on these ideas, okay? I've been writing this down for a few months, so I hope people find this useful, but start to consider yourself as an antenna that sends out signals in the field all around you with every thought, either positive or negative. Sometimes you may also pick up the thoughts of others from the collective thoughts that are not even your own. So this can be seen in family dynamics and work dynamics, friendship dynamics. You know, when you're like, you're in a good mood, you're feeling good, you're feeling like you're creating your reality. So you're like, you know, you've just gone for a run, or something's really going well at work and fitness is going well and everything's going well, just having a really good day. And you come to the office, or you get an email from a colleague, or your mum or dad's in a bad mood, right? And their energy and thoughts are like swirling around them. You can feel it. You can feel this energy from people, and it just brings you right down, because your antenna is picking up on that and your positive mood starts going very negative, and you're like, oh, okay, well, I guess I won't feel that way anymore. But it's really important to start to imagine yourself as an island in your thoughts, safely, and trying not to pick up the thoughts of others. It's so hard to do that. I'm still trying to action that in my own self, of like, because obviously I'm bombarded by opinions every single day from like thousands of people, hundreds, whatever, and making myself into an island of like groundedness in my own thoughts and feelings about myself and the world has really, really helped me to not become overwhelmed and not to struggle with my own self-esteem. So we have not just thoughts, but also ideas. Ideas are small seeds of creation when they are crystal clear, are filled with light, and they manifest fully in our reality as an emblem of our creativity, becoming tangible creations like a book, a painting, a new business, a song, a film, an ultra training plan, a marathon training plan, a 5K training plan, a walk in the park. Human creation are so various and so many. And when they are positive, they are often called brilliant because everyone can perceive the light in them. When I first realized that that's what brilliant, and why we say brilliant, because, you know, when you think of brilliant, you think of brilliance, like the light is shining. And when you think of a brilliant person or a brilliant idea, you can literally feel the light shining off that person. And I think it's so beautiful that within us all lies that light, that like crystal clear positive light that you can harness. And I often see this when I have meetings with colleagues on my team or my coaching team, and we're problem solving a client, or we're problem solving something, and we're all like, okay, we should do this and that and this plan here, and we'll do this and mindset this. And it's like brilliant, and it's like glowing with light because we're able to help this person, and we're giving these ideas, and we're making that reality for that person. It's so beautiful. But your thoughts become your reality, and one of the most powerful gifts that I can give to you is permission to dream and to tell yourself that those dreams can become reality. So to start to observe how we also express ourselves vocally is a great exercise in order to understand how we create our reality daily. As to speak or sing is as well an act of creation. So things like gossiping, lying, saying unkind words, screaming angrily at someone, being judgmental, criticizing, being bigoted, spreading hate, that sort of stuff. Those are the kind of things, manipulating people, those are the kind of things that will dull your light and dull other people's life. And this is why nasty people who bully others are perceived as unpleasant, ugly people. And you can feel it off someone. You know, when you're walking down the street and you see someone being cruel to someone, or someone's nasty to a waiter, or in a coffee shop, you know, someone's rude and you're like, oh, you're just, no, that aura is so dark. So being aware of the words and the energy you're putting out into the world will change your life. And I spoke about this in a previous episode, I know. But for me, you know, when I was very unhappy and I was struggling deeply with myself, I was very, very self-conscious, and I was projecting that into the world. And I'm not, I'm rather ashamed to admit, but I did engage in gossip. And I would say not very nice things about people because it was coming from a place of insecurity and jealousy and darkness. And I hadn't found my light yet, and I hadn't realized that I was the creator, and things that I wanted in other people, were triggering jealousy, and I was then saying things I didn't mean when actually I was looking at that person and wanting what they had. So just being very aware of how those signs are telling you, you know, they could be telling you this is something that you want. Instead of creating a layer of negativity around yourself, just immediately reflect upon it. Just mind your words and your thoughts, because they both count. You are what you say, and this goes back once more to the way you speak to yourself and others, the way you address your thoughts. For example, I used to pretend that I was already a long distance runner and a powerlifter well before I could run for a kilometer and before I had started going to the gym. I would dress, behave, and speak like it until I became it. I was obsessed with the fact that I could be the alchemist of my own journey. I decided my reality. I chose my actions, and I choose my words, both to myself and to others. That changed my life forever. And now when I am presented with tasks, I think back to Cassia 100 pounds ago. Not that weight is a big indicator of success, of course, but having that journey and being in that place and now coming to where I am now, I think of her running for the first time for a kilometer or finishing 10K for the first time. I think of her doing an ultra marathon, and I think of little Cassia being along for that ride and reconnecting to her and finding my light and my innocence and the creator within myself. And I know now that every challenge that comes my way, I'm able to, you know, it might feel like too much, but I am the creator of my own destiny, and I know that I have the tools now. And start small. It was a walk to the end of my street and back. Please remember that when I started. It was a walk to the end of the street and back. It was telling my parents I was struggling. It was being honest with my friends about my addictions. The little things that I did that added up to now, I suppose what someone would think of as quite an adventure I've been on. So it's so important to reflect on how you speak to yourself. If you're trying to begin or continue a journey with wellness or a transformation, are you telling yourself you will succeed, or are you always putting yourself down? Sure, you can go to the gym, you can go for your runs, but what is that inner voice telling you? Do you believe you will succeed? I think that's what separates the extraordinary from the ordinary, that blind belief that you see in athletes or entrepreneurs, the unshaken belief that no matter how rough the storm, they will succeed. This is how I manage my low periods and the rough times I go through in my own business journey. I still believe that I have it in me to work it out and to make it happen, even when it feels impossible. And giving myself permission to believe that is where my success lies. So this is a long and very convoluted way of saying fake it till you make it. Truly, your thoughts become your reality. And there's a very famous illustration of two people facing each other, and they're looking at the world. And one of them is coming out of his head is this like fiery storm of dark clouds and thunder. And the other one is like sunshine and rainbows, but they're perceiving the same world. It's just their thoughts are clouding how they're seeing it. And let me tell you, look, I was a very, very negative person. And I turned that around, and, you know, I'd planned not to make it to 27. I just did not see a future whatsoever for myself. And I truly think I was just living in this darkness. And I look back, when I look at photos, I can see it in my eyes, even like just the darkness that was surrounding me, the nastiness. And to now, I feel so childlike. I turn 30 in 3 weeks' time, and I have never felt younger, and I don't think it's got anything to do with how I look. It's certainly to do with how I feel, but it's most importantly to do with how I speak to myself and how I engage with the world and the things that I do and the activities that I give my inner child, but also knowing that I am the creator of my universe and having that belief that belongs to us all. Like, we all have that in us. It's just about unlocking it and giving yourself permission to dream. So no matter your reality, you choose your path, you choose the way you react, and you create your dream life. And I know it's not that easy, and I know, and I say this every episode, but I just want to make sure no one feels left out or like I'm speaking down, or, you know, you and I listening, we're on an equal plane. I am only offering a hand to you and giving you this advice because I wish I could go back 4 years and give this podcast to Cassia then, because it would have saved a lot of pain and a lot of angst. But I'm aware that there are times in life, and I've just been through it in the past 4 weeks, you know, I've really had really low time. And I'm aware that mood disorders exist and that, you know, family relationships are hard and living relationships are hard. And sometimes you can hear this stuff and you're like, okay, inner child, outer God. Yeah. Struggling to pay my bills and I feel really depressed. I think that's going to have to be for later. And I just want to make space for people who are feeling like that too. It's a privilege to be able to have the space and time to reflect upon these ideas. But I wanted to offer them as tools to you, if only if you don't do the exercises now, if only to plant that seed in yourself for thinking about what little you liked to do and how you speak to yourself now, and thinking a little bit about the reality that you create for yourself within your thoughts and your actions and your words, and if there are any ways that you can change them. And I know that it's so difficult to do that because our mind, our brain is like a jungle, and you want to go down the path that you've cut through and you can see it. It's so easy to walk down, and often that's negative for people. It's, oh, you're not going to do it. You're fucking useless. Like, of course that happened. Oh, of course that happened. You're an idiot. No, you're not capable of this. And it's hard to then go down another path and say, hey, I forgive you. That's okay. Let's try again. Hey, it's all right. We're going to get up and do it again tomorrow. Or, of course you are capable of this. You see something on Instagram, you say, I really want to try that. That sounds crazy. I don't know. Let's say it's learning to fly a plane or running a marathon, anything. Giving yourself permission to say, yeah, I'm the creator of my destiny. And hey, that dream may be 5 years away, but at least I can start the little steps that it takes to get there. I just hope I planted some seeds for you today and that you get a chance to really try and connect a little bit more with yourself through this episode. I really would love to hear your feedback on these ideas, because this is something that I even visually think of my inner child a lot and my outer creator a lot. And I just click into them when I know I need to click into them. And it's, you know, look, we all get one shot at this and we're all new to it. And I hope that in every human being's life, they give themselves permission to have fun, but also to dream and follow those dreams. I mean, it really is boundless, our potential. And so many people get lost under layers and layers and layers of pain. And reconnecting with these parts of yourself, I hope, will start to bring some light in the dark. So I'll leave it there today. We're going to read a passage that's by an author called Yodan Teddy. And someone sent this to me. As always, please send me your poems. I love to see them, but this is a lovely passage and I just wanted to read it because it reminded me so much of this community. In another life, you learn to hang your rage in your closet. You understand that anger should never cling to human skin. In another life, you place your grief by your bedside. Some days, you stay in bed and clutch it to your chest, but more often, you glance at it in the morning. Your fingers ache to hold all of the loss, but your feet want to dance under the pale sky, so you dance under the pale sky instead. In another life, you learn that a hard life is still a life worth sharing. You surround yourself with tender palms, softer hearts, and faces decorated with laugh lines. And in this life, you are still learning. In this life, you have time to hang up your rage, lay down your grief, and dance under the pale sky. I just thought that was rather beautiful and I wanted to share it. So I will leave you there today. Please give this podcast a 5-star rating. It helps me keep creating it for you. I love you always. Until next week.